So in our effort to provide some idea of what we're talking about here, we figure we'll go to the minds that know the most. And to do that, I want to go to my very good friend, Phil Cox. This guy is instrumental in a whole bunch of Republican political things over the years, but he has been a longtime DeSantis advisor and helped lead the 2022 reelection of Governor DeSantis down in Florida. Phil, welcome to the program.
Josh, thanks for having me. What an honor, man. I can tell you, I've done a lot of cool things in my life, but being on the program, I mean, it's like climbing Everest or sinking that 20-footer to win the Masters, brother. Like, this is seriously exciting stuff, but I've been waiting for swag for a while. What? So, like, I want to know who's in charge of the swag. Is it Duncan? Is it Ashford? Like, who's in charge?
Yeah, Duncan's in charge.
Get me some swag.
I can't believe we've dropped.
I want a nice lid. Okay, come on.
Done. That's absolutely done. You know, and we may even have Smug sign it for you. What do you think about that?
Oh, come on, Christmas come early. Let's go.
We've got Smug in Iowa, covering the caucuses in the 1 degree while we sit in the comfy confines of our studio here.
Wind chill of minus 22, buddy. Minus 22. Feels like minus 22.
Not great. Not great. Well, it's a perfect way to punctuate what has been a very interesting campaign that now feels like we've finally gotten to the voting component of it. And curious to get your thoughts. What do you think we're going to expect to see here in Iowa?
Well, look, campaigns are tough, right? And the most important thing is to focus on the things that you can control. And the governor has been disciplined. He's been putting in the work. He's done all 99 counties. He's got the endorsement of a great conservative governor in Kim Reynolds. As evidenced by the recent debates and town halls, I think he's getting stronger every day from a messaging standpoint. So he's gone about it the right way. The good news is the silly season is over. We don't have to worry about garbage polls or pontificators. The voters get to decide now. So they get to bundle up, baby, and we'll get to see how this all shakes out here on Monday.
Yeah, no, I can only imagine at this point when you have undergone months and months of speculation and rampant strategy pontification from everybody on the outside looking in, that at this point you guys are all pretty much looking forward to casting ballots.
Yeah, amen. And I mean, look, he's, as I said, he's in a messaging sweet spot right now. He's gotten stronger as every week has gone by. He has a clear record of results in the third largest state in the country, has a record of serving his country, is the only military veteran in the race. And he has clear vision to turn around this country. And so the fun part starts now. Actual people, not the media, with all due respect to you.
I don't know that we
not
qualify.
The media or garbage public polls get to decide now. So it's great. We're looking forward to it.
So obviously the campaign and external efforts have focused heavily on Iowa. And we noticed when we were out there for the state fair back in August, the sheer amount of organization around the DeSantis campaign. Clearly, you guys have to feel good about the infrastructure that's been built there over a period of time. This is not something that's just sort of stood up here in the final weeks before the vote. You feel like all that's kind of come together here at the right time for Governor DeSantis?
I think so. I mean, there's literally hundreds of volunteers knocking on doors, braving the cold right now. We knocked on our 3 millionth door this week. As I said, we've got, you know, he's been to all 99 counties. We have over 1,500 precinct captains, which, as you know, matters a lot in a caucus. You have to get up there and actually advocate for your candidate, and that can make a real difference. You have to make that closing argument. Having Governor Reynolds' endorsement and her organization at our back, folks like Bob Vanderplatz, and just really putting in the work, I think it's going to make a difference. The governor, has been very respectful of the voters of Iowa. He's taken questions wherever he's gone. He's shown up, he's listened, he's learned. I think Iowa's going to be the boost that he needs to really carry the momentum, through New Hampshire, South Carolina, and right into those Super Tuesday states.
Yeah, so I know you're too smart of an operative to do the expectation setting game, so I'm not going to pry too hard. But obviously, polls indicate Donald Trump's going to win these caucuses, and there's been a lot of conjecture about Haley, DeSantis, where do people finish? I understand that you all are pretty confident in where you're at and the work that has been done. Is there anything to extrapolate about tonight's results that will have a larger impact on the DeSantis campaign as it moves into New Hampshire and beyond?
Well, I mean, I think, Josh, you know, he's taken over $45 million in negative advertising.
Yeah.
The national media has certainly been no friends. We expect those media attacks to continue. I think the good news for that is that expectations are a little lower today than they were maybe a few months ago. Mm-hmm. But really, as he said, this is the first chapter in a long book. He's in it for the long haul. It certainly helps any candidates to get momentum in these early primary states. That helps for organization. It helps for money. And it should help from the media narrative, although we certainly don't expect a whole lot from them. What we've said repeatedly, Josh, and you and I have talked about this, is that, you know, other than Trump, you know, DeSantis has the highest ceiling. And what does that mean for your listeners? Well, it just means that, you know, two-thirds or three-quarters of the Republican electorate broadly throughout the first, you know, 25 nominating states think very favorably of him. They think highly of him. They would pull a lever to vote for him, okay? Mm-hmm. And so they need a permission slip to do that. And the permission slip, I think, begins in Iowa. If you look at Governor Haley, you know, she's performing relatively better in New Hampshire. And why is that? Because there's a lot of independents that participate in the New Hampshire primary. There's a lot of Democrats that participate in the New Hampshire primary. But she has a much lower ceiling. She needs those independents and those Democrats to perform. And I don't think her candidacy is really built to last beyond New Hampshire.
Mm, interesting. So is it fair to assume that after Iowa, that Governor DeSantis basically is right into South Carolina and then focusing on that larger map that comes pretty quickly?
I think it is. It's sort of like the NCAA tournament, right? Like, as you said, former president, he's already made it to the finals, right? And we gotta win the bracket. We gotta win the other bracket and get down to where it's a 1-on-1 race.
Yeah, very good.
And that's gonna happen post South Carolina into Super Tuesday. And if we do that, then I think, look, I mean, you're running against a former president of the United States. Campaigns are hard, presidential campaigns are hard. When one of your opponents is a former president who's still popular with a big chunk of the party, it gets even harder. So you gotta focus on what you can control. And right now, what we're focused on is you know, Monday night, tonight. Making sure this is a contest and not a coronation. And I think we're going to have great momentum coming out of these caucuses, and it's going to give him the energy to bring the fight to South Carolina Super Tuesday and beyond.
Well, well said. Listen, one of the smartest operatives in the game, and I don't say that lightly because I like to give Phil a very hard time. But Phil Cox, thank you. Thank you for joining us, and we'll do it again sometime soon. And maybe, you know, you can stretch out here in the studio and have a bourbon with us, and, you know, we can talk about all kinds of different things.
Now you're talking my language. As long as there's a lid and some swag along with it, I'm there.
Yeah, you got it. Phil Cox, everybody, thanks for joining us.
Thanks, Josh. Appreciate it.
Look, I think the one thing that you're getting with this program tonight is people who we've known for a long time. And I got to tell you, both Chris LaCivita in the first interview that you did, Ashbrook, and now Phil Cox are people I go to war with in politics without question. Mm-hmm. If they said, I need you, I'm in. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And so you're talking about a level of significance, of accomplishment, of people who know what they're talking about. Like, somebody's going to win, somebody's going to lose. But that doesn't actually, in the end, I think, reflect at all on what these guys are trying to do.
Right.
You know what I mean? They all have a strategy. They're trying to execute it. Some will work here tonight.
Right.
Some
right.
may not.
Right.
But all of these people are extremely smart.
Right. And they're both guys that the mainstream media would kill to get on camera.
Yeah. I mean,
think about how hard that the press would work to get Nick Saban and Jim Harbaugh on the same show. And here they are fighting against each other, explaining what it is that they want to do right here on the Ruthless Variety.
Yeah, but
program.
That's like, that's not their format, right? And that's what makes our show great and why I enjoy doing it, right? Like, you could have a Harbaugh or a Saban or somebody on the show, but if you actually wanted to learn something, you'd have to give them 15 minutes.
Well, but the
you have to do what we right,
cable news isn't set up for that. Right. But no, we are.
They're
right?
They're set up for it where Democrats are concerned.
Right.
They're not interested in providing that sort of platform for Republicans
right.
because they don't care about Republicans. They're all Democrats. They're Democrats making the news about Democrats. And at the Ruthless Variety program, you get Republicans.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I noticed, so I was following CNN had, I had all the channels on today, and CNN had rolling coverage of the Iowa caucus. And, you know, like some of it was good. Caitlin Collins, by the way, did a montage, historical montage of the caucus that was terrific.
Yeah,
I
right.
tweeted it out. It
I
was
saw,
really,
saw
really,
that.
Really well done. But then I saw a panel where they've got like a left wing, New York Times columnist.
Yeah,
providing her thoughts on the Republican Iowa.
But that's the funny thing about CNN. Like, the Iowa caucuses is the one day where they treat Republicans the same way they would treat a plane crash.
Yeah, right.
Like they'll cover it. Like wall to wall.
But it's almost like the zoo at
yeah,
the same
right,
time where
right.
they're like, look at the way they mate.
Yeah.
Look, they talk to each other funny. Look at them. They interact. And I can't believe they do this in rural areas. This
yeah.
is unbelievable. I've never seen anything like it.
That's exactly what they do on a routine basis. And then when a Democrat calls, they say, oh, yeah, well, that sounds great. I'm going to repeat that ad nauseum from 8 a.m. until 9 p.m.
100%. And that's why you're tuned in here tonight. And thank you for doing that. For everybody here at the Ruthless Variety program, including our incredibly valiant field correspondent, Comfortably Spuck.
Yeah.
Thank you for joining us this evening. We love you. We're all about this
thank
primary
you.
Season. We're going to be back each and every time. Good night.